It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And as always, I am thrilled to be sharing space with each of you, whether you're here for the first time or whether you've been listening for the last, wow, it's almost been a year and a half. That's kind of hard to believe. And so you're here because you're interested in doing money in a more conscious way, right? To learn how to lean on that soul money relationship instead of creating money out of old money wounds or habits or patterns with money, which is really easy to do. Those of us even who are conscious in our money relationships fall into those patterns sometimes too. And I have an amazing guest who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. Before I do that, I want to put on my teacher hat, I guess we can call it, for just a minute and chat a little bit about the soul money relationship, just briefly. Those of you who know my work or who have listened will have heard this, but just imagine this with a beginner's mind. So the soul money relationship has three different components to it: your relationship with yourself, your relationship with the divine, and your relationship with the actual energy of money, the actual thinking about paying of bills and investing and all of that. And the conversation that Beth, my guest and I are going to have today falls squarely in that first category, that relationship with self. People ask me all the time, what's the most important component of the relationship? And there really isn't a most important, but certainly your relationship with yourself and your ability to be living a life that's yours is going to be really important. It's going to be a foundational part of being able to create money with peace and with in a way that money will last around you. So today's conversation is all around authenticity. What does it mean to live an authentic life? How can you live an authentic life? How do you know if you aren't living an authentic life, and then how that actually impacts your bottom line, your bank balance. So I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to have this conversation. This is Beth Koritz. We have been friends for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met in an amazing mastermind led by the fantastic Beth Schneider. Kim Schneider. And I don't know that I have told you this, but when I first met you, my first thought was, holy crap, here's a real entrepreneur who's really supposed to be in business. And I was a little intimidated, to be frank. And I got over my intimidation, thankfully, because you're an amazing person. And so just to complete the formal introduction, Beth is a best-selling author. She's a licensed professional counselor. She's an authenticity coach. And I want to read what she says about her work because it's so beautiful. So she says that her passion is helping women who feel disconnected from themselves integrate their passions and purpose into an authentic and soul-led life. So Beth, welcome. I'm really glad that you're here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I love that we have reconnected after all these years. And I had no idea that that's what you felt. I will say, I do know I can come off as a little bit intimidating sometimes because when I'm passionate about something, there's a strength there, for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, when we talk about your soul languages after the break, there's other pieces in there too.
Now
that I know who you are, I had reason to be intimidated. No. So I want to start actually by reading just a couple paragraphs out of your lovely book, Resilience Road. So this is just right out of one of the first chapters. Okay. And I think this is going to set the stage really nicely for our conversation. So here we go. My life was not a mistake. I just wasn't living it as my best authentic self. Not everything in my life was unhappy. I just wasn't living it on my own terms. I wasn't in my own skin. I was creating the person I was supposed to be instead of experiencing all of these joys as my real self. The problem wasn't in the journey. The problem was that I never stopped to question the destination. It wasn't that I had dropped a stitch. It was that I had been knitting someone else's pattern. That is an amazing analogy. So can you, we could talk for the whole show about your journey, but can you say a little bit about this the journey really that you've been on, and why authenticity came to be such an important factor for you?
Absolutely. So, I mean, my journey was long enough to fill a book because I've had a crazy life of a lot of health problems that are just weird health problems, you know, not some of your typical ones, but, you know, like I have two autoimmune diseases that the same body they're not supposed to be able to inhabit the same body. So, but I did, you know, and I've had weird things like Guillain-Barré syndrome where I was paralyzed from the shoulders down and on life support. And certainly the 10 days I was on life support when I couldn't communicate with anybody was the impetus for this transformation because I had, I thought I was going to die. Even though the doctor assured me I wouldn't, I believed I was. And you have no time. I mean, you have nothing to do but think. They don't have televisions in the ICU. So you are really trapped in your brain for all of that time. And it was during that time that I just had like my own, you know, epiphany that I've really been living a checklist life. I'd been doing everything that we're told we should be doing, you know, get a good education, get a good partner, get married, buy a house, have children, send them to good schools, be a good parent, you know. And I loved all those things. I did all those things. I loved them, but none of them fit who I was authentically. You know, I was born in 63, which I said was always a decade too late for me because I've always been a hippie. I wasn't raised by hippies. I wasn't, you know, didn't go to a school full of hippies. And I was really born about 10 years too late to like have my youth and 20s in the hippie movement. But there I was. And so I always just felt I was an outlier. I was always an outlier. And I worked really hard to fit in. And, you know, there's a lot of that in my book. Even when my kids were in school, I was still working to fit in with the moms. And I was never being really, really true to myself. And it wears on you. It's exhausting. It's just exhausting. But it takes courage to live in your authenticity when you've built a life around everything but that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes courage to speak the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely, without a doubt. So as somebody who has done some of the same self-observation as you have and recognize where there were pain points, can you say a little bit about how does somebody know? Well, okay, let's even back up. What's authentic? What does it mean to be living your authentic life?
Well, you know, with my clients, I'm amazed at how many of my clients, when I ask them, tell me about your authentic self, like tell me who you are on an authentic level. And so many of them, the vast majority of them say, I don't know. And it's sad. That's like often crying. They say that because it's a hard realization that hits them in that moment that they really don't know who they are authentically. If they ever did, and they, I'm sure we all did as children until we went to school. And the first person who told us something that made us felt other or less than, it disappears, right? So I completely lost my train of thought there. So we all have that at one point. And even if we had that in our high school years or college years, we tend to lose it as we become partnered. And we start morphing a little here and there to have a better partnership. We become parents and we morph a little more because here's what good parents do. And good parents are friends with their kids, friends, parents. And you have to fit into that group. And we morph and we morph. And then, you know, maybe our kids are now going to school full time. Who are we? Or they go to college and we're empty nesters. We've completely lost touch with our authentic selves. And we know it because we don't feel like we don't feel at home in our lives. People bury that. Yeah. But once you ask them, like once you're hearing this, viewers, it's clicking with you if you are not living authentically.
So true. Yeah. And not only does it take courage, but, you know, I think about my moment, right? I mean, growing up, you know, parents too took good care of me. They put me through college. I can't ever remember a time in my life when I didn't know I was going to college, right? A lot of privilege, right. All of that. Got out of school. I had met my soulmate during that time. We got married. We started having children because I knew from the time I was six, I was going to be a mom, right? All of that stuff, career. But then there was just something around the edges that just wasn't quite right. And mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. And there was a little bit of shame. Like I'm looking around at all these people in my life who probably actually weren't happy, but I thought they were happy, right? Because everybody always looks happy, right? From the outside. And just feeling like, it's like, for me, it's like that sandpaper under the skin kind of a sensation, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Right. Because I was doing, I love that phrase, that checkmark life, and not to diminish it. Right. Because loved having my children and I'm still happen to be married to my soulmate. Right. So, right. But it's that, wait a minute, there's something that's a little bit off here.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So when people start questioning that, what's the next step that they get to start asking themselves?
Who am I? Who am I really? Right. And I ask people, you know, step one for me with my clients is always write a list of your characteristics for me. Okay. Like write down what makes you, you. And the rule is it has to be an adjective. It can't be a noun. Right. You can't say I'm an athlete because an athlete is what you do. I'm a good mom. No, a good mom is what you do. What makes you a good mom? Okay, list all the adjectives to me that make you a good mom. Because one day your kids are grown and being a mother is not your role, your primary role. So then who are you? Well, all those characteristics, you know, of being a good mom, those are still your characteristics, right? So talk to me about who you are in adjectives, because that's who you are at a soul level. That stuff rarely changes throughout your life.
Yeah, well, that's one of my questions. So do you think that authenticity, I don't want to sound like a inquisitor here, but do you think that authenticity changes with time? Is there a formula for it, or is it a more dynamic process?
So I think certainly our interests change over time. The way we express ourselves may change over time. You know, I really like to talk about clothing. as a form of expression. I think it's just something everybody can relate to. Yeah. You know, and I talk in the book how when my kids were at this very shishy private school, I had this like plaid Ralph Lauren blazer that I would wear. I know. Right?
That is not the Beth Gordon. I know. Okay.
I know. But, you know, that was the population there. And right. if I'd right. shown up in like my flowy skirts and scarves and, you know, I just thought that could hurt my kids' chances to play with their kids, you know. Mm. And in truth, maybe it really would have. And so it wasn't so much about me being accepted, but my kid, right? And it's easy for me to say, well, if they're not going to accept my kid because of what I wear, shame on them. But I didn't want my child to pay the price for my unicorn personality, right? So, So the question was, does it change? Yeah. So the way we express ourselves may change, you know? The things we're passionate about may change, but the adjectives that I'm asking for, they don't change so much, right? Now, they may grow and improve. So if somebody, like, here are the kind of things I'm looking for. I'm kind, I'm generous, I am witty, I'm loyal, I'm compassionate. Those things don't change, you know? We may become more compassionate, and something may happen. We may suffer a great trauma or loss that lessens our compassion over the years, but that's still, that was tailored by circumstance. Mm. We are still a compassionate soul. If you start as a compassionate soul, you remain a compassionate soul, is my belief, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something may have caused you to become bitter over the years or angry, but that can be dealt with.
Yeah. And that can also be a symptom of putting up with, right? Putting up with the stuff that wasn't you, right? Or trying to fit your unicorn personality, you know, into your basic barn horse, right? That's right. Right. I love your analogies. Right. Yeah. And I would call you a unicorn personality.
Yeah.
You know, but also it is our essence remains the same. But we have to learn how to uncover that essence from all of the other junk that we've been taught we're supposed to do.
Right, right. So I consider my work, I love that you use that word because I am loving that word. I consider my work with my clients is a merge of their soul essence and their human essence.
So tell me what the difference is between a soul essence and a human essence.
Well, I think the human essence is what we turn on, you know, what we have created to fit in, be successful, be in this community of women or get the promotion, right? But in our soul essence, that is our authenticity that carries with us the lessons we were put in this life to learn. Right. Maybe some of the stuff that in this life we're having to fix from past lives, if you believe in that, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. both of us do. Right. So, you know, that's your soul essence. Kind of what you do with it is your human essence. And look, you know, I also tell my clients, you know, ideally, you and I are blessed. We have created a livelihood around our passion and purpose, right? But not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
or wants to, right?
Or wants to, yeah. right. So for those people, they are looking for, it's important they find other ways in their life to integrate their passions and purpose, right? And so when they're not doing their passion and purpose, that's their human essence, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the merging of them. Mm-hmm. Did I make that clearer?
Yeah, no, that's really, okay. that's really beautiful. And, you know, again, the word privilege is coming up, you know.
For sure.
Right. And at the same time, I don't want it to be a matter of privilege for somebody to be able to live their soul essence. I think that our world, and this is going to, I don't want to sound like a sunshine, roses, lollipops kind of moment here, but I think that there are so many systems in our, on our planet that are built on making sure that people don't follow who they really are.
Right. Exactly. And right. They were built specifically for that reason.
Exactly, because there's fear, right? And we don't.
This and control.
Is, oh, control.
It's all huge. About control, right?
Yeah, and I feel very strongly that that's the case for money in a lot of ways too. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the more that we ask the question, who am I really and what do I really want? Mm-hmm. The more opportunity, no matter where we are, the more opportunity we have to have a little bit more joy and a little bit more passion and a little bit more impact on our world around us. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that's why I really make it a point to say what I just said. We don't all have the privilege of making our passion and our purpose our career, you know, and it's a huge privilege, but everybody can find tiny little ways to put their passion and purpose in their life and find some joy in that. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're able to do it because our passions and purpose are A, monetizable, mm-hmm. and we're helping, we're serving people that need this, right? Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, I have two daughters that are artists, you know. Will they ever like really, they're working artists and they're trying to support themselves, but will they support themselves for a lifetime? Is that remains unseen. They may have to turn to like a job so that they have the time and space to do their passion and purpose. So I always say somebody has to drive the trash trucks, right? And God bless those people that do it. Where would we be without them? But I hope for them that they find a corner of their life to enjoy their passion and purpose also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, and I love that your daughters are working artists. I believe strongly that as we follow that passion, as we follow, you know, I don't know that it's as simple. What was the, is it Lynn? I can't remember Nate, you know, excuse me, your life is waiting for you. The money is, you know, do what you love. The money will follow, right? That's that book was one of the first that I read that opened my eyes to, oh, there's a different way to live, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but it isn't always as simple as do what you love and the money will follow. There are pieces that we've built in, habits we've built in, belief patterns that we live under, circumstances that we're in that don't allow the shift to happen immediately. And what I've also seen is that the more that we step into who we really are, mm-hmm. what we're doing on an energetic level, right, is we're dropping a lot of energetic resistance. When we're trying to be the square peg in the round hole, there's so much resistance. And that resistance sounds like frustration in your head. It sounds like, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, shadow boxing, worrying about things, anger, right? All of those kinds of things that we tend to do. And the more that we accept our square pegness or our unicorn self, right, the less resistance there is. And when we do that, we are able to connect with ourselves, connect with divinity in a way that creates more expectation, I think, of money being able to flow, whether that money is flowing directly from what you're doing in the world or whether it comes in other forms.
Crazy ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy mm-hmm. unexpected ways. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I know you're going to mention the speaker series that I'm doing later, but yesterday I was interviewing who's going to be my last speaker because her topic is my second biggest passion, which is body size, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
And body positivity and intuitive eating and that whole, right, anti-diet movement. And I think it was the same thing, her talking about releasing the resistance. And I think money and body size are the two things that women, they're just the two by far biggest hurdles?
Oh my gosh. I remember I was sitting at a basketball tournament with one of my kids. I can't remember now which kid it was, but I was sitting next to, well, it must have been my daughter because it was my daughter's friend. The mother of my daughter's friend. And this woman, if she were a two, I would be surprised. Yeah. And she was lamenting the fact that she had to go home to her parents' home over the weekend because her dad was going to be on her about how fat she'd gotten. And my mouth dropped open. I've always struggled with my weight and my size. So I don't know how many sizes there were between her and I at that time. But for me, looking at her, I thought she had a perfect life because to me, one of my big struggles, she didn't appear to have. And yet even in people who could be defined by society standards as beautiful and the perfect size, carry that same crap in their head.
Oh, right. For sure. Because there's also, I mean, there's not just the fact that they still see imperfections and what is perfect, right? But to their standard of perfect, they still see imperfections, but there's also a huge fear, right? A huge fear of losing that. Right. Okay. So I love that we went here, even though it was a little off money topic. I love that we went here because they have a fear, you know, both myself and the person that I was interviewing, our weight has fluctuated hugely, 40, 60 pounds due to medications, right? Mm-hmm. And health issues. Mm-hmm. Now there's all kinds of other reasons, environmental, right? Genetics, tons of
hormonal
reasons.
All of it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that you have no control over, but also medication is something, if you have to take a medicine for something, mm-hmm. you have no control over the weight it puts on or takes off. And I personally was on one that I lost 40 and a different one that then that 40 back on and 40 more. No control, right? And the people who are in that place of maybe not seeing themselves as like still seeing problems, but knowing they're accepted, they're privileged, they have body type privilege, there's always that fear of losing that. And then who are they? So the authenticity work.
Yeah.
And the reason I go to those adjectives and not titles or nouns, it's because who you are on a soul-based human essence level is who you will always be, no matter what size your body is. And you are what is in your bank account, right? And you have to like who that person is because that's truly the only thing you have control over. Absolutely. And know, right?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah,
I was just going to say, and knowing whatever, you know, hilltop or hole you are in, you are still that person that you like and admire.
Right. This work goes so deep because, the external, whether it's weight or money or a job title, right, we use these externals to fill that hole. Right. So if I don't really know who I am, if I can't name my adjectives, if I can't love who I am with those adjectives, I'm going to try to look to my size or look to that bank account or look to that job position to make me be okay. Right.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't last. And that's the thing. Yeah. That's why I always talk about my work is about lasting peace and abundance. Anybody can manifest $1,000 if they know what they're doing. Anybody right. can. But is that money going to last or is it going to drain out tomorrow? Right. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Look at the guy who just lost billions, like $43 billion in 2 days or something crazy like that.
Crease pants. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He would think, oh, I have so much. I'll never lose it all. Poof.
Yeah.
Right? He's still the same person.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So authenticity is that, was going to use the word permanent, and I don't know that I want to use permanent, but it is
intrinsic.
Our essence, intrinsic, beautiful, much better word,
yeah.
Our intrinsic qualities that arise from who we are. And in my language, I would say in our, who we are as our unique strand of the divine. That's how I would say that. Okay. So, so much juicy stuff here. All right.
I know. I can talk all day long about this.
Yeah. So this feels like a good time. We need to take a short break. And this feels like a good time to do it because when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things. One, how people can get in touch with you. We're going to talk about your speaker series. And then we're going to give some tools to help people be able to start to understand a little bit more about their own authenticity. So let's do that. So you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Beth Koritz. And when we get back, we're going to talk about all of that juicy stuff and more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit JenniferBloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, along with my guest, Beth Koritz. We've been talking about authenticity and soul essence and all kinds of really juicy topics. And so what I want to chat about first before we dive back into any of the topics is to have you let people know how they can get in touch with you, Beth. What's the best way to get in touch with you? Learn more.
Well, my website is authenticity.coach. And so you can go through there. My email is beth@authenticity.coach. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Authentically Aligned.
Super. I love that you have authenticity.coach. That's so cool. I didn't realize you could do that. So
I know.
Cool.
I felt very lucky.
So, okay. And then the other really fun thing is that you are hosting an amazing speaking series that's coming up April 19th, right? That's when
Monday.
It kicks off. Monday. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so can you share a little bit with people about the series and what it's all about and how they can listen?
Absolutely. So I have gathered 21 amazing speakers. And, you know, my ideal client is somebody that's going through any kind of transition, whether it's, like we said, empty nest, the end of a relationship, starting life back up after a loss of a partner, graduating from college, you name a life transition, they're my clients, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to gather a variety of speakers that could speak to almost to all of those people in different times of their lives going through different things. Mm-hmm. And I actually, it's an international speaker series because I have somebody from Nova Scotia who's even speaking. The name of the series is Aligning with Your Authentic Self and Purpose, a soul-based approach to reaching your full potential. And I just feel like there's something for everybody. Every single speaker is doing a free offer or a free gift or special offer. Many of them are giving free calls, like one-on-one calls away, and all kinds of other worksheets and stuff. And there's no cost. The whole thing is free. So I hope that all the listeners here will go, there'll be a link, right? Somewhere
yep,
on this.
Yep, it'll be in the show notes. Yep.
Okay. Yep. And I hope everybody will go and sign up for it because every day a new one will be released, but you'll be able to watch all of them at your leisure.
I yeah. love that. You know, I don't need to get into that. Those of you who are familiar with the telesummit world, you know, sometimes right. it feels like you get 12 hours or you got to pay $1 million in order to, yes. to listen. And I think part of authenticity is integrity, and you have a lot of integrity around this series. And I really appreciate that because there are a lot of people out of integrity, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but we don't need to.
I'm so honored that you said that because one of the people in my mastermind group is doing something similar, and they're charging $97 for lifetime access to the interviews, and I'm charging $7.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about getting rich. Certainly, if it was, we wouldn't really be doing what we're doing. We're here to serve, right? That's our purpose, and passion is to serve. So I just want as many people as possible to get the value from all these speakers. So it's free.
I love it. Yep, I love it. I love it. Okay. So there's something in there too, though, about serving and money, and yes. not to, you know, coach here, yeah. right? But I do think,
no, you're right.
I think that one of the things that people are afraid of, and let me know what your experience is with your clients, is if I take my authentic path, I'm going to end up broke, or I'm going to end up alone, or I'm going to end up without any friends. Do you run into that at all?
Okay. Yes. Not necessarily the broke piece.
Okay.
But losing friends, that happens, you know, I mean, but it's not guaranteed to happen. It doesn't always happen, but often if we're not being authentic, the people in our circles don't really fit with our authentic self. We didn't give them a chance to even know maybe our authentic self. And relationships shift and change, but that's always the case anyway throughout life. So if they're gonna shift and change over things like demographics or, you know, where you live or where you work, isn't them changing so that you can be the truest you a really good reason for them to change?
Yeah. Yeah. And that if you're okay with a messy middle, right, where things are transitioning, things are changing, if you can just let yourself get through that messy middle, the other side is so much happier, right? You can breathe in a new way, right? Everything's different. It really is. It's like black and white to color, honestly.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So what I'd love to do in the rest of this conversation is for us to share some tools that we use with our clients to help figure out, hey, who am I? What is my authentic self? And so I'm going to start, and then we'll chat for a little bit, and then you'll get a turn. So
thanks.
You're welcome. I invited you. I'm going to give you a turn. Okay. So again, for those of you who listen to the podcast on a regular basis, you know that my go-to tool in this area is soul language. And soul language is a paradigm that helps put tangibility to who you are as a soul, and the energies, the soul energies that you have brought in, or let me say that a different way, the divine energies that you've brought in to support all your relationships, including your relationship with money. So of course, this is, you have to be identified by a practitioner in order to understand these languages, but they are so potent that it's just such an amazing tool. Beth and I had fun. I identified her personal languages a couple weeks ago, and then actually later today we get to talk about your money languages. But your personal languages, let's talk about the there's two languages in particular I want to talk about, because I wonder what they are, because your quest, your mission language was all about helping people honor their truths, right? So mm-hmm. that was like, whoa, easy peasy, that's you. And then you had two languages. You have Huntress Hunter as your skills and tools language, and then you have Graceful Warrior as your tone, which is Soulful Personality. And if you can't guess from the names, these fall into a class of languages within soul language called warrior languages. And they are exactly what that sounds like, right? These are people who have great strength, who are perseverant, but in the unconscious, and I'm speaking from personal, I've got Huntress in two of my categories as well, but in the unconscious can be, we go to war, and we don't go to war in an easy way. We might go to war against ourselves. We might go to war against other people. And it's probably what I was picking up on when I first met you, right? Mm-hmm. Because you carry Graceful Warrior. And I have Jennifer Rizzio, who's the founder of Soul Language, is a Graceful Warrior. And man, right? It's you come across, right? There's just a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me just a little bit about what knowing those languages, how they fit or resonate with what you know about yourself?
Yeah, well, first of all, without knowing those languages, I've always called myself a warrior. Not necessarily a role I wanted, but a role that I was kind of forced into taking. I was either going to be a warrior or a victim. And victim mentality is just not, it's not something I even have to fight. It's just not in my DNA. Which is ironic, because now that I think about it, like, I did have a grandmother who was very much victim mentality. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why it was never in my lexicon. But in looking at it's also interesting, because when you and I met, I was in a place where I was in great transition. I didn't know what my future was going to look like, which is why I signed up for the course. And during the year-long course, I went through a bankruptcy because of the real estate crash, the market crashed, and I was a home builder at the time. So that time was a struggle. And my health struggles, even just a couple months ago, I was dealing with something, I still am daily, that turned out to be called vestibular migraines. But for many months, I was getting like brain MRIs and all kinds of tests to identify what it was. And I kept repeating to anybody and everybody, I'm a warrior. I just need to know what the problem is so I can fight it. Mm. Right? I mean, that was my mantra for the months of unknown diagnoses. So when you said those things, and I mentioned to you that I had a past life reading that where one of my lives was identified as an Aztec warrior chief.
Oh, yes, 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 right? Yes, yes.
So when you told me these two warrior languages, mm-hmm. I was like, well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. No right. surprise.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about these languages is you can either be using them consciously, right? Or you can be using them unconsciously. And coming from someone who's had periods of her life where she's been an unconscious warrior, right? It can create a lot of pain and suffering. Where we are creating these unconscious battles, or we are fighting harder than we need to. Right? The conscious warrior understands when to act and when to be still, and understands that the stillness is as potent as the action.
So I find that fascinating, because while I definitely was and am a very conscious warrior, I've also only recently become very aware of the unconscious piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's my balls to the walls, working on creating everything I've ever wanted to create. If I have to sit at my desk 14 hours a day, 7 days a week to get my book published or to launch a program, or I do it every time. And every time my body says, screw you, you're not honoring me.
Right.
And so I am going to knock you down and teach you a lesson. Yeah. And truly, it's only very recently, and with this latest diagnosis, that I have begun honoring more my body and making space in my life to just be.
Yeah. And I think, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about this, because I want to make sure we have time to go to your tool. But I think that, you know, authenticity, part of that is honoring your body's rhythms, right? We've got all these beautiful adjectives that you're speaking about. And then I would add to it, what's our rhythm? Who are we? And how can we be in that rhythm in a conscious way that supports the kind of life that we want to live?
Right. Right. And so I'll let this lead in. Is that okay?
Beautiful. Yeah. Take it away.
Okay. I'm going to let this segue into one of my tools, and that is boundaries.
Oh.
Okay. Creating boundaries. So I want to say, like, the foundational part of becoming authentic and breaking through fears. And by the way, when I say breaking through fears, I mean just understanding them enough that you can walk through them. Not eliminating them. I mean, that's beautiful if you do, but it's just not always possible for a long time. And so in the meantime, I'd like to just help you be able to walk through them. So there's many pieces and steps to this process, and they don't always go in the same order for everybody. Although the one I shared in the first segment, that's always the first step. Okay. One of the steps, though, is going to be setting boundaries, learning to use your voice. They're connected, right? You have to be able to learn to use your voice in order to set the boundaries. But like, for example, I have started setting boundaries with my weekends. I mean, I'm not kidding. I would work 7 days a week and be at my computer at least 8 to 10 hours a day. And now I just tell everybody my weekends are, I'm not sitting at my desk and I'm not being in front of screens. Actually, screens can trigger these migraines. So it was like a forced respite. And I needed it. I'm grateful in a way for having my weekends back, you know, right. And honoring what my body needs. So my clients are always most excited when they get to self-report about the boundaries they've set. You know,
yeah,
whether, yeah. Right. I had a client, I give my clients unlimited access to me, my coaching clients. And so they're always leaving like Voxer messages for me, recorded messages. And I had one last night about back to body stuff. Somebody she works with really triggers her disordered eating mentality. And I said, well, tomorrow in your session, we will work specifically on words that you can use to end that kind of conversation without having any kind of conflict with her. Okay. That's a hard boundary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So identifying the areas in which you need boundaries and then being able to set them has to be done to allow yourself to be authentic. Mm. Right?
Yeah. You know, so... That's very interesting. I recently had a very messy ending to a business relationship. And I realized that, well, there were a number of reasons for it on my end. But I realized that I didn't put a very good boundary in place between what's personal and what's business. I'd been in relationship with this person for 12 years. Mm. We've been through a lot together, her and I, you know, both in our lives. And I began thinking of her as family. And in business, that's just not what you just don't do that, right? I mean, I'm the kind of person, I'm very maternal. I carry a lot of mother earthy kind of energy, right? I just want everybody in my community, and I want to hug them and love them. And, you know, I want them with me forever. But that is not a very, that's way too porous a boundary for business, because when she started making mistakes and it impacted my business, I turned and looked away. And when she started talking not very nicely to me, I just turned my head, because I do not tolerate that crap in a lot of places, but I tolerated it from her, because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, this is family, this is what I'm supposed to do. But no, this is a business relationship, and it was impacting the money I was spending on my business. Mm-hmm. So,
well, there's a power differential in that relationship, mm-hmm. right? As friends, there's no power differential, mm-hmm. but as employee-employer, there's a power differential, mm-hmm. and it wasn't being honored.
No, it really wasn't. It wasn't. And I could talk about that I'll just stop for now, but the question that I'm asking then is, how does that then relate to my authenticity, right? How can I set a boundary and still be this maternal person who loves the people in her community? And that's a pretty big question.
You knew you weren't being authentic. You knew it didn't feel good, right?
You're right.
Right. We know that it doesn't feel good. My first client today, I was like, how does it feel in your body when that happens? I don't feel it. It doesn't do anything to my body. It does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does metabolically. Your heart rate's going up, your blood pressure's going, it does. You're not defying science. It's about tapping in to what you're feeling, right? The self-awareness.
Yes. And I, you know, and when you hone that skill, you can get some pretty specific information, because so there are two body signals that I've really picked up on maybe in the last couple of years. One of which is if I am saying something that I'm not supposed to, I get a tightness like in my solar plexus. Mm-hmm. And I can tell, like, in my relationships, if we're having a conversation and then all of a sudden I just have to stop if I get that feeling. And then if there's something that I'm should be saying that I'm not, I get a feeling lower, like more in that second chakra area below the belly button. Mm-hmm. And when I follow those signals, things go much better. Mm-hmm. And when I ignore them, not so bueno, right? It's just, right?
So I find with my clients that one of the reasons, and I think this will be you, that people don't have that boundary, don't speak their truth, is because they see it as confrontational. And I just love it when a client says to me, well, I just don't like confrontation. And I'm like, who does? You're not special. Nobody likes confrontation, right? and, you know, it's about framing for everybody that difficult conversations do not have to be confrontational conversations, right? Yep. And if you had known a way to have that conversation with your friend in a non-confrontational way to set those boundaries, you would have done it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the way that I could, there were a lot of personal things that were coming up for me that I felt like would be shaming if you know, if I were to say them to her, like, I'm not interested in you doing my business anymore because of XYZ, it felt very shaming. And I couldn't figure out how to have that conversation. Right. And then of course it blew up. So
you just needed a good coach to help you through that.
I did. No kidding. No kidding. Yeah. And now I know
that's,
better.
That's what I do with so many people. It's helping them find words.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's a really great way actually to wrap up this conversation, is to say that some of this work you can do on your own. And there's a lot of this work that really is helped by having a compassionate coach with you on that journey, because there's so many things that we don't see because we've lived with them for, you know, I've been on this planet 51 years. So there are certain things that I've done the same way for each of those years. And then there are other things where I'm more conscious of them, right? Because I've had somebody help point them out to me, or I've, you know, right. Or some things I've come to my own realization. Mm-hmm. So I am going to encourage any one of you who are listening, where you're starting to get little pings, like maybe you're not quite living as authentically as you could, look up Beth's information. She is an amazing coach. And please come to the speaker. Again, those will go in the show notes. Listen to the speaker series. There's gonna be a lot of information there.
Yeah. And could I just mention, if they go to my website, I offer a free discovery session.
Beautiful.
That they can go on and schedule.
Super. Super. Well, yeah. So please check her out. All right. Well, we, as always, could be talking for hours about all of this, but we will wrap up here. So thank you all for being present and for your energy. It lends it to these conversations. And just as a reminder, I'm Jennifer Bloom, and I help people heal their soul money relationship so they can have lasting peace and abundance. And you can join into the conversation here the first and third Fridays of every month. And we've got great conversations coming up. So I invite you to continue to join. So until then, everyone, take good care, prosperous blessings, and see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.